You only unlock it if you're tasked, she said to him, jumping to grab the card out of his outstretched hand. There is nothing to unlock in a zero.
And how would you know? Oliver shot her a look.
It is my very firm belief.
Oh, yes, he said. I dare say you have many firm beliefs. Alice turned away and crossed her arms.
What will you do now?
He asked.
I will get my card back from you, thank you very much.
And she caught his arm just long enough to snatch it back. And now?
He stood there staring at her. Now I will dig a very deep hole and live in it.
Oliver laughed, and it lit up his face, softened the hardness in his eyes. He will do no such thing.
What do you care? I can live in a hole if I please.
Alice, I don't care what the elders say. I know what you can do. Just because you chose the wrong talent to surrender—
I did not choose the wrong talent.
Certainly you did, he said, one eyebrow raised.
I can't even comprehend it. I thought for sure you would have—
You hush your mouth, Oliver Newbanks.
What?
Why?
That is not a talent,
Alice said firmly. Not a talent, Oliver balked.
Do you know what I would give to be able to do what you do? Everyone is born with color,
Alice said carefully.
Mine is simply contained on the inside. That is not talent. It is biology.
That is a biology the rest of us don't have, Oliver pointed out.
I dance,
she said to him.
That is what I do. That is my gift. I feel it, Oliver. I feel it in my heart. It's what I meant to do.
I disagree.
It's not your place to have an opinion.
Well, clearly your opinion did not work in your favor. She kicked him in the shin.
Good grief, Alice!
Oliver yelped, grabbing at his leg.
What is the matter with you? I'm only trying to help.
Alice bit her lip and looked away.
I am sorry,
she whispered.
I don't mean to be cruel. It's just that my heart is so thoroughly broken I fear I am beyond repair.
Oliver seemed slightly mollified. He sighed.
You don't have to be so dramatic, he said. Besides, if you're looking for adventure, my offer still stands. I still need your help.
I don't want to help you.
Why?
He said, exasperated.
Why on earth not? Would it really be so terrible?
Probably yes.
But for your father, he said desperately. Would it be so terrible to also find your father?
I still don't understand why you won't just bring him home,
Alice said, fists clenching.
If you know where he is,
Oliver let out a frustrated cry and threw his hands up.
You don't understand, he said. It's not that simple. I can't just bring him back, not without you.
And why not?
She demanded.
Maybe if you first brought him back, I would actually want to help you. Did you never think of that? That maybe kindness would work better than cruelty? Did you ever consider that maybe—
Alice, please!
Oliver grabbed her arms and set her with a look so strong she couldn't remember enough words to speak.
Alice, he said again, bringing your father home is my task.
Alice's body was goosebumps from hair to heel. A shiver climbed into her clothes and warmed itself against her skin. Her heart was racing and her hands were clenching, and she closed her eyes and drew in the deepest breath.
Oh, my very dear,
she thought. She knew Oliver Newbanks was telling the truth. She made a sound just then, a sound that might have been a word, but was mostly just a sound, and backed away from Oliver, teetering sideways and frontways until she spun and fell in her skirts, a heap of color swallowing her whole. Finally, Alice looked up. Oliver had his arms crossed against his chest, his eyebrows drawn tight and low. His eyes were focused on a piece of bark peeling off a nearby tree.
Oliver,
said Alice.
What?
Said he, still glaring at the tree.
Are you angry?
She asked.
Yes, quite.
He crossed his arms more tightly.
Don't be angry.
He harrumphed.
You are insufferable.
Well,
she said, crossing her arms too,
so are you.
Finally, he turned to face her. And that is all you have to say? After all I've shared with you, you still refuse to...
No,
said Alice, scrambling to her feet. No, I did not refuse. Oliver's arms unthawed. They hung at his sides, limp as his bottom lip.
What? I said
Alice loudly,
that I did not refuse.
Then you agree?
Absolutely not.
Oliver's mouth had frozen open mid-sentence, but now his jaw snapped shut. He narrowed his eyes.
You are the most confounding girl I have ever encountered.
Alice smiled.
Well, thank you.
Don't you dare, Oliver cut her off, horrified. I did not intend that as a compliment.
Alice's eyes flashed. She was in a delicate state, and Oliver had just made himself the most convenient target for her anguish.
Of all the things to dislike, said Alice angrily, I fear I dislike you the most.
Consider the feeling mutual, Oliver snapped. They stood there a while, the two of them, chests heaving as they glared at each other. Each was fighting a difficult personal battle, and both were too proud to share aloud their pain. Finally, Alice grew tired of being angry. It was an exhausting occupation, and collapsed onto the ground, biting lip and cheek and knuckle to keep from bursting into tears once more. This, Oliver seemed to understand. Carefully, cautiously, he sat down beside her, and a beat later they spoke at the same time. He said, "Do you truly dislike me more than anything else?" And she said,
"Oh, Oliver, I've lost everything, haven't I?"
And Oliver blinked, stunned. His heart, so hard just moments ago, softened as he realized that, for today at least, Alice's battles were greater than his own. He spoke gently when he said, "Of course you haven't." Alice looked up at him, round eyes full to the brim and shining. She managed a small smile.
You're a terrible liar.
Well, then, he said, failing to suppress a smile of his own,
come with me. Come and find what you've lost. But how will I ever be able to trust you?
She sniffed and wiped at her eyes, determined to pull herself together.
I haven't the slightest inclination to run off any place with any persons who tell more lies than truths.
At this, Oliver raised an eyebrow and smiled. It was perplexing, yes, but the boy appeared to be flattered, and we won't bother wondering why. Either way, he was now digging around in his messenger bag for something or other, and Alice was caught, deeply curious. Not a moment later, Oliver reemerged, clutching no fewer than 5 scrolls in his fist, his smile triumphant.
I have maps, was all he said.
Alice gasped appropriately. Dear listener, for you and I, the acquiring of maps is an altogether unimpressive feat, as maps are, generally speaking, abundant and available to any persons desiring such things. But we must remind ourselves that in Farrenwood, maps were a rare commodity. And for Alice, they were a fierce reminder of father. Making maps, you will remember, was his lifelong work. Oliver, of course, understood this. Alice made an odd, startled sort of noise, and he nodded. Yes, he said, they are indeed your father's maps. The elders gave them to me before I set off for my task. Alice appeared unable to speak, so Oliver plowed on.
They've been searching for him since he left, you know.
Oliver paused, again allowing Alice an opportunity to respond. When she didn't, he said, but they couldn't find the right person for the job until last year at my surrender. That's when they knew my skills would be just the ticket. Oliver grinned.
Impressive, no?
What else do you have in that bag?
Alice finally said, eyes narrowing.
Nothing you need to be bothered with, he said quickly.
Alice opened her mouth to protest when Oliver interrupted her, hastily shoving the maps away.
Absolutely not, he said. I shan't share a detail more unless you agree to help.
At this, Alice took a long and deep and careful breath. Finally, she relented.
All right,
she said, and exhaled.
I'll go with you. I'll help.
Oliver, to his credit, looked so surprised Alice thought he might weep. But Alice hadn't meant to do Oliver any favors. Her decision was motivated entirely by self-interest. The way she saw it, she had only two choices now: find Father with Oliver, or stay in Farrenwood and live forever in shame. So she nodded.
I give you my word. Oh, Alice,
Oliver said, reaching out.
Thank you.
Don't thank me yet, she said, swatting at his hand as she got to her feet, eager to put some distance between them. She didn't want Oliver to think she was thrilled about the situation. You are certain you know where Father is?
Yes, he said, clambering to his feet as well. Yes, yes, but don't you see, knowing means nothing when there's doing to be done. It's the getting to your father that I can't do.
Alice clasped her hands and considered the sky, pressing her lips together as she did. She looked Oliver square in the eye, all the while digging the toes of her right foot into the grass.
And can you be sure you know where he is?
Oliver looked like he might fall dead of exasperation.
Have you been hearing nothing I've been saying? Of course I know where your father is, but that doesn't...
Yes, yes, Alice said, waving a hand. I heard all your et cetera's, but just because I know you're not lying doesn't make it any easier for me to believe you.
Oliver studied her carefully. He reached into his bag and pulled out yet another scroll of parchment that he then unrolled in the palm of his hand. The paper lay flat as a board for something that had been so tightly wound, but when Oliver next touched it, it shuddered to life. Slowly it grew, the rectangle of paper shivering into a three-dimensional box taller than Oliver was wide. He touched the top with three fingers for 3 seconds, and the top disappeared.
Come then, he said to her, motioning with his free hand. Come have a look at where your father is gone.
Alice was horrified.
Father is in that box?
She gasped, clasping a hand to her chest.
Has he been trapped or broken? Do we have to put him back together? Oh, Oliver, I don't know a lick about fixitation.
He's not broken, Oliver said, shaking his head at the clouds. Just come here and look, he said, for heaven's sake.
Oh, all right,
she said, cheeks stinging. It was hard for Alice to like Oliver, on account of she didn't like him very much, but she wanted to find Father much more than she didn't like Oliver, so she'd have to put up with him, and so she wandered closer, close enough to peer into his box. Inside was a door. Alice gasped again.
Yes, it's very clever, isn't it? Oliver said. But the journey will cost us a great deal.
Oh, I haven't any money, Alice said. I spent my last fink on a dilly pop
of time.
Right, yes, time.
Alice cleared her throat. Once we step through, Oliver said, it will be very difficult to come back. We might be gone for very long.
As long as a caterpillar?
She asked, one eyebrow arched as she pinched the sky.
Or as long as an ocean?
She threw her arms wide.
I don't know, he said. Last time I was gone for a year.
A whole year?
Alice said, dropping her arms.
That's where you've been all this time, trying to find Father?
He nodded. Alice sat down. She reached for a daisy without looking, plucking it from the ground only to stuff it in her mouth.
So where does it lead?
She asked, staring into the distance as she chewed.
The door.
Oliver sighed. Alice squinted up at him, shading her eyes against the rainbows. Finally, he placed the box on the ground and sat down beside her.
It goes to furthermore.
Alice laughed, mouth half full of daisy.
Oh, go on, she said. Really, tell me where it goes.
It goes to furthermore, he said firmly.
But,
Alice faltered. Oliver raised an eyebrow.
No,
Alice said slowly, quietly.
I thought... Everyone thought...
She hesitated.
Oliver, furthermore isn't real.
Your father thought it was. He was tasked to furthermore when he was your age. Didn't you know? He wasn't just mapping Farrenwood, Alice. He was making maps of all magical places.
He was doing work far more important than anyone in Farrenwood's ever done.
Oliver tapped his bag twice.
Your father's maps saved my life countless times.
Alice's eyes had gone round as plates. Alice hadn't known any of this.
Had Mother known about this?
Father, the town, and the elders. They'd kept these truths from her. And even though she'd always hoped, always wanted to believe there was something more out there, another magical place in the world, now that the actual possibility was staring her in the face, she wasn't sure how to believe it. Still, and perhaps unfortunately, Alice knew that Oliver spoke the truth, which made it inconvenient for her to incline toward disbelief.
"What's it like?" she whispered. "Furthermore."
Oliver looked away, but not before Alice saw a flash of nervousness flit in and out of his eyes.
"There's a reason we don't talk about it," was all he said.
Alice gasped, finally understanding.
"Oh, Oliver," she said. "Is it dangerous? Has Father gotten himself into trouble?"
Oliver turned to face her, determined now. He nodded at the box between them. "Are you willing to find out?" Alice looked into the box and the tiny door it held. She thought of fear, and she thought of courage. She thought of home, and hope, and the chance for adventure. She thought of Mother. Mother, who wouldn't miss her. Three brothers, who never knew her. And Father, who always loved her. Alice had nothing left to lose, and an entire father to find. There it was. For the very second time, she knew what she was meant to do. So, she reached inside and turned the knob. Alice peered into the open doorway and saw nothing at all.
"There doesn't appear to be anything inside," she told Oliver, rattling the box a little. "I think maybe you've got the wrong door."
"There is nothing the matter with my door."
Oliver snatched the box away from her, setting it down a few feet away.
"You must step inside a world to see it honestly. A passing glance won't do."
She wanted to say something unkind to Oliver, but decided instead to study him a while, curiouser and curiouser about this boy with the mouth of a liar and hair the color of silver herring. She noticed then that he wore a quiet tunic with no adornments. It was not very stylish. In fact, it had little to recommend it but its hue. It was the color of an unripe eggplant. Oliver noticed her staring and began to fidget.
"Well," he said.
"Are you certain the door is the only way to get in?" Alice asked. "Perhaps there's a window, something that would give us a quick peek."
"Are you going to question everything I say?"
Oliver asked, his arms flailing about. "Is this how it'll be the entire time?" He caught a passing butterfly and whispered in its ear. "I should snip my head off right now, shouldn't I?" Alice stifled a laugh.
"Oh, very well," she said,
and clambered to her feet.
"Go on, then. Make me small enough so I might fit inside."
"There's no need for that," Oliver said,
releasing the butterfly. It flew in circles around him only to land in his hair, where it promptly fell asleep.
"There's plenty of space to fit the both of us, so do be quick about it," he said,
gently plucking the butterfly from his head.
"It's rude to keep the door waiting."
Alice peered into the door before glancing back at Oliver one last time. He was fighting a losing battle with the butterfly, which had very obviously fallen in love with him. It was a silly thing to do, talking to butterflies. Falling in love was their favorite way to pass the time. Alice stepped one foot into the box and nearly screamed.
"Why on earth is it wet?"
she shouted, panicking. She tried to pull her foot free, but it was now stuck inside the door.
"Why didn't you tell me it would be wet?"
Alice didn't have a chance to protest before Oliver grabbed her by the waist and hoisted her up. He said,
"It's wet because it's water, you silly girl,"
and dropped her in. This might be my favorite part.
Alice fell very far.
She fell back for a bit, and then slightly to the left, and then up, for a very long while, until she finally fell down with a plop, soaking wet and sinking fast. She tried to scream, but spoke only in bubbles, blinking around at the sea she was drowning in. She was scared, and she was mad, but mostly she was mad. Oliver had not told her she'd have to swim in these heavy clothes, and now she would die, and it would be all his fault, and she wouldn't even be able to tell him so, and that made her even madder, and so she kicked and kicked at the water, her delicate headpiece and ankle bracelet slipping off in the process. Horrified, she finally accepted that she could only survive if she untied her cumbersome skirts, and, oh, how it broke her heart to watch them go. But it was then, just as she was thinking of how best to kill Oliver Newbanks, that he was tugging on her arm. As soon as her head broke the surface, she could hear what he was saying. "What in heavens are you doing?" he shouted, red in the face and shaking. "Why didn't you come out of the water? Were you trying to kill yourself?" "What?" She spat water out of her mouth and pushed her hair out of her eyes. "Me? Kill myself? What are you talking about? I was only drowning, no thanks to—" "Drowning?" he said, flabbergasted. "Alice, the water is only knee-deep." Ah, that would explain how she was currently standing. Alice looked down and around herself and spotted her skirts floating only a few feet away. She cleared her throat and said,
"If you'll please excuse me,"
before making her way toward the clothes. The water was clear and the color of turquoise. It wasn't cold, and it wasn't hot, but it was very wet, and Alice was looking forward to being out of it. Once she'd secured her skirts and made her way back to Oliver, he gave her a very round look and seemed to think it best not to comment any further.
"Well,"
she said, head held high as she shivered in the breeze.
"Where from here?"
"Straight ahead," he said, nodding toward the shore. Land was just a faint line in the distance, but she could see it, so she told him so. She followed Oliver as he went and asked no additional questions outside of the 5 questions she did ask and paused only to sneeze when her nose required it. She was just in the middle of a sneeze, in fact, when she noticed the wet carpet under her feet. They were very close to the shore now, and she could see straight to the end. There were tens of dozens of ancient rugs laid out along and up the sand, cutting a vertical line to land. Each rug was a rich red, but woven with threads of gold and violet and seafoam green into intricate, abstract, faded floral patterns. It all felt very proper. Furthermore was welcoming them, and suddenly Alice was glad to have arrived. Suddenly she wasn't cold or wet at all. In fact, suddenly she was warm, and her skirts were toasty, and her hair was dry, and her bare feet were walking on the thick, plush Persian rugs that had been laid straight across the beach. They were heading nowhere, as far as she could tell, but she didn't mind. The sky was very pink, and the clouds were very blue, and the air was sweet as lemon pearl, and she felt very cozy, and very lazy, and very this, and very that, and very...
"Alice!"
Oliver tugged on her arm, and she heard it snap. Not her arm, no, but something. Something snapped. Suddenly they were on the sand, and not the beautiful rugs, and she felt very cold, and very worried, and very hungry, and very... Oliver was snapping his fingers in front of her face.
"Alice! Alice! Alice!"
"What?"
she said, frowning.
"What is it? What is the matter?" "You mustn't stay on the rugs for long," he said urgently. "Furthermore, can be tricky when you're not paying attention."
He pulled her to her feet. Only then did she realize she'd sat down.
"Where are we?"
she asked, looking around. Oliver had nudged them back onto the beach, but that didn't change what she saw. It was a barren landscape, nothing but sand and sea, not a person in sight. "We are at the beginning," he said, and that was all. They stood in the sun and said nothing more, and Alice was so confused she couldn't even remember how to say so. Besides, she was distracted. Oliver was holding her hand now, and though she tried to shake him off, he wouldn't let her.
"You need to be careful," he said to her.
"We are currently at the entry of slumber,
which is just one of the 68 villages we must travel through, and each village has its own very specific rules. We cannot break a single one if we are to find your father."
"Not a single rule," she said. "In 68 villages."
"Not a single rule," he said, "in 68 villages.
"But how will we know all the rules?" she asked.
"I will teach them to you as we go. I lived in Furthermore for an entire year," Oliver said, "so this is all very common to me now, but I imagine it must be very strange for you."
"Yes,"
she said, sneaking a look at him.
"Very strange indeed."
Oliver was looking around carefully, his eyes darting every which way. It was as though he was seeing something she could not, something he was afraid of.
"And now?"
she asked.
"Where do we go now?"
"We don't go anywhere," he said. "We wait for the sun to sleep."
Alice wanted to believe Oliver was joking, but she couldn't suss out the humor in his words.
"Oh?"
Oliver nodded. "Though we won't wait too long, I hope." He squinted at something in the distance. "The sun in slumber is terribly lazy and always forgetting the time. It naps so frequently that its people have stopped waiting for sunshine. Their village only appears in the dark."
"Oliver,"
said Alice,
"are you being deliberately absurd?"
It was odd, but for a girl born and bred in magic, Alice could be disappointingly unimaginative. But then I suppose there was good reason for her reaction. After all, the people of Theronwood had always used magic in the same steady, reliable ways, and Alice had never known magic to be manipulated frivolously. She'd no idea what a little recklessness could do. The magic of Furthermore was entirely foreign to her. But Oliver still hadn't offered an answer to her question. He was rifling through his bag again, and this time Alice heard the unmistakable clink of coins. She narrowed her eyes and poked him in the shoulder.
"What else have you got in there?"
Instead of responding, he unhooked their hands and folded himself into a seated position, settling in for a wait. Alice very cautiously followed suit, and she was just about to ask another question when Oliver tugged something out of his bag. It was a small notebook.
"Right," he said, perusing its pages. "I nearly forgot."
"What is it?"
Alice asked.
"What's the matter?"
"Nothing's the matter yet," said Oliver. "I'm just checking things, making certain, and so forth."
"Making certain of what?"
"Oh, just sun cycles and such." Oliver was reading with great focus, following a few scribbled sentences with his finger.
"Hmm," he said. "We should only have to wait here a few moments longer."
He looked up.
"What sensational luck!
If we'd arrived any later, we'd have had to wait at least a good hour for the sun to sleep, and it would have been the most anticlimactic introduction." He turned back to his notebook. "This first bit of the journey can be terribly boring, you know." Alice frowned.
"Oliver, what?"
"Oh-ho!"
Oliver jumped up with a start, squinting up at the sky. "There we are!"
"What?"
Alice asked, scrambling to her feet and looking around.
"What's happening?"
Oliver nodded at the sun. "There. He's just about to take his nap."
"But now give us a second, Alice,"
Oliver said impatiently. "It takes him a moment to roll over." Alice blinked, and the world went black. Alice had never in her life seen such darkness. Back home they had moons and planets and so many stars that the nighttime was never really night.
Not like this.
This was something she could not adequately describe. They had been plunged into a sky where everything had been snuffed out. She blinked and blinked, and the blindness sent a chill through her heart she could not shake. A fear of the unknown, of the unseen, of what could be waiting for them here in this new world. It would not leave her.
"Oliver!"
she whispered. "Yes?"
"Why didn't we pass through when the sun was awake? Wouldn't that have been safer?"
Oliver shook his head. "Slumber is the entry point into all of Furthermore, and as such,
the security measures are severe. Any visitors foolish enough to enter at sunlight are seen and snatched up in an instant.
But why?
Alice asked.
Snatched up for what?
Snatched up for what? Are you quite serious?
Oh, and you're surprised, are you?
Alice crossed her arms, irritated. Surprised I know not a single thing about this land I learned existed only a moment ago? Oliver was slightly mollified.
Right, he said, and sighed. My apologies, it's just that it seems so obvious to me.
Well, when will it be obvious to me?
He squeezed her hand. Soon, I'm sure.
But how soon?
Patience, Alice. Best to introduce yourself to Patience now, so that it might find you when you call upon it later.
But I have so many questions,
she said, tapping his shoulder very hard.
Why would they want to snatch up visitors? Is that what happened to Father?
Oliver smiled at her in the dark. Not exactly, no. Your father is 10 steps smarter than all that.
But
while I'd like to answer all your questions, he said lightly, we've little time to spare and many appetites to avoid. I won't be the reason you end up in someone's stew tonight. Alice had not a single idea what he was talking about, and she told him so.
Well, said Oliver, if you don't already know what to fear, and furthermore, I can't imagine you'd want to change that now.
Perhaps it's best to be ignorant just a moment longer. And then he held up a finger and peered up at the sky. A moment, it turned out, was all it took. The sky exploded with light, shot through with so many stars and moons and glittering planets that it was blinding in a whole new way. It looked as though the night sky had tried to snow, but the flakes had fallen upside down and gotten stuck. It was, in a word, magical. Not just the sky, but the whole village. People appeared out of nowhere, shops and businesses busy in an instant. Food was cooking, and chimneys were puffing, and children were crying, and parents were shouting, and the hustle and bustle was all it took to shuffle Alice right along, right into the heart of it, and she felt her spirits soar despite her many worries. Eyes wide open, Alice took it all in. This was a real adventure, wasn't it? This was what she'd always dreamed of, and, oh, to find Father in the process! She nearly ran into the arms of this new world. But first, she had priorities.
Alice, no!
Oliver tackled her.
But I'm hungry, she said, staring at the flower she'd nearly plucked out of the ground.
You mustn't, he said. You can't, and you absolutely shouldn't.
But no,
he said firmly. Only on special occasions are visitors allowed to eat anything, and furthermore, and this is not one of them.
Only on special occasions,
she said back to him.
And what are they to do until those occasions arrive?
Her hands were on her hips now.
Are they expected to starve?
Yes, he said, and very gently and with a smile she did not anticipate. Now, he said, clapping his hands together, all business, will you be requiring use of the toilets? There's only one set of toilets in all of Slumber, and they're right here at the start, so best to use them now if you need to. It'll be a long trip, you know.
Yes, okay.
Alice dropped her hands and looked away. It was hard on her pride to be treated like an imbecile, and she hated the way Oliver seemed to know so much and she so little. She was fighting no small battle to be cooperative, if only for Father's sake, but her patience had little practice.
But I'm also very hungry, she said, determined to be heard. I haven't had any noon lunch.
Good, Oliver said. That will help us quite a bit.
And how's that?
Oliver squinted up at the night sky and once again, offered no answers. Alice glared at his back. Oliver was secretly relishing his role as leader of the two, and under the pretense of being older and wiser, he hoarded his knowledge, miserly, sparing only a sentence or three when he felt he must. But Oliver had underestimated his female companion and her capacity for being condescended to, and he would no doubt pay for his youthful arrogance. With every new slight and casual indifference, Alice was a glass half empty,
slowly filling bottom to top with resentment. As for now, all was well enough, as she distracted herself with the splendors of her new environment. But Oliver would later find much to revise in his early moments with Alice, Alexis, Queensmeadow.
"Now then," Oliver said, glancing at her, "we have only a couple of hours before the sun wakes up again, and a lot to do before that happens. Best to get moving," he said, patting her on the back as a parent might. "And let's get you to the ladies' toilet, shall we?"
Alice grimaced and trudged on, mildly embarrassed and ignoring the urge to pop Oliver in the nose. She sighed loudly whenever they passed a patch of grass and a promising bud, the grumbles in her stomach growing louder by the moment. She knew she would be a terrible companion if she missed too many meals, and it worried her. This journey was too important. She needed to be her best self, healthy and full of energy, and Oliver didn't seem to care. He was grinning cheek to cheek, happy in a way she didn't know he could be, and she realized then that Oliver was fond of furthermore, happy to be back. Maybe happy to be home. Strange.
Alice skipped a little as they got closer to the heart of town, abandoning her frustration in exchange for excitement, eager to be seeing and doing new things. This was a thrilling journey for a young girl, and newly 12 years old, lest we forget, who'd never left home in all her life. More exciting still, slumber wasn't at all like Fernwood, where everything was an explosion of color. No, slumber was black and bright, an inky glow, orange-yellow spilling out of corners, puncturing the sky, creeping past their feet. It was cozy and merry and perfectly odd, and if Alice weren't so preoccupied with thoughts of father, she might have been more inclined to enjoy it. There was food everywhere. Cups full of nuts standing in bowls, jars and jars of honey stacked in storefronts, glasses full of flowers just sitting on tables. Alice wanted very desperately to eat one. Just one, she thought, couldn't have been so bad. She said as much to Oliver. "That is not food," he said to her. "Those are decorations. People in Furthermore do not eat flowers. They eat animals."
"Animals,"
Alice cried, and shuddered, thinking of all the cows and sheep and birds back home. The people of Fernwood lived in peace with living things, only occasionally borrowing milk or eggs or honey in exchange for a lifelong friendship with creatures older and wiser than they. Alice was duly horrified, and she suddenly remembered Oliver's hair, which had always reminded her of silver herring. She pointed an accusing finger in his direction.
"You eat them too, don't you? Don't you? Oh, those poor fish!"
Oliver went pink.
"I haven't any idea what you mean," he said, and cleared his throat. "And anyway, no food is to touch your lips. Not here and not at all, at least not until I tell you so."
She scowled. He scowled back. "Remember what I said earlier," Oliver scolded her, "about how we aren't to break a single rule if we are to find your father?" Alice nodded. "Well, this is the first one," he said, "so don't break it."
"Fine,"
she said, and she pursed her lips, quietly hating him. They crept through town quietly, doing little to draw attention to themselves. Strangers offered them a few glances, but little else, which Alice thought was kind of them, considering how awful she must have looked with her sea-washed hair and clothes. Her outfit was fairly ruined, and her hair was a wispy nest, and though she looked nothing at all like anyone in slumber, they didn't seem to mind. She realized it was because they couldn't really tell. In the dark, they were all the same.
"Here we are," Oliver finally said.
He pointed to what appeared to be a lady's toilet. It was little more than a wooden shack standing in the middle of all the dimness, and when Alice gaped at Oliver, all he did was shrug. So into the shack she went, tick-tock, tick-tock, and out the shack she came. She shook out her skirts and smoothed out her top before joining Oliver where he was standing and did her best to appear proper. She cleared her throat a little.
"I'm ready now,"
she said. Oliver glanced at her. "And how are you feeling? Still hungry?"
"Yes,"
she said.
"Quite."
"Good. Very good. Shall we?" He gestured to the main path.
"Where are we going?"
she asked as she fell into step with him. "We have to pick up something important while we're here. I just hope it'll be in the same place I left it."
"Oh,"
said Alice.
"And what is it?"
"A pocketbook." Alice laughed.
"But you've already got one,"
she said, nodding at his bag. Oliver shot her a look. "I most certainly have not."
"Oh, Oliver,"
Alice sighed, rolling her eyes.
"We'll get you 10 pocketbooks if you love them so."
Oliver was perplexed, but let it go. He seemed distracted, nervous even, as he wove a path through town, but Alice was experiencing no such nervousness. She followed Oliver through the narrow cobblestoned lanes and tried to be present in each moment, appreciating the scents and scenery of this new land. Lanterns were lit along every path, and the sky was positively mad with power, but even so it was hard to see. Nightlight made everything invisible around the edges, all slinky silhouettes and occasional spotlights. Alice did her best to keep up with Oliver, but her efforts required more than several apologies to the bodies she collided with. Still, it smelled like cardamom in slumber, and the pinked cheeks of bundled strangers made her want to stay forever. Oliver, however, was not having it.
"But that's not fair," she said to him. "What if there are clues here? Clues to where Father is gone? We came all this way. I really think we should investigate the people. If Father has been here, we should shop the shops he shopped and climb the trees he climbed and see how the gentlemen wear their hair, and, oh, Oliver, I would dearly love to—"
"Absolutely not," Oliver said, stopping in place. He lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Alice, please stop insisting we stay. I already know where your father is gone. I don't need any more clues. And besides it all, you don't understand how important it is that we—" "But it's not safe," he said, finally losing his temper.
"It's not safe to pop into a shop? Not safe to knock a hello on a neighbor's house?"
"Not safe. No, not safe at all. We cannot, under any circumstances, go into the light," he hissed. "Don't you understand?"
"No, I do not understand,"
Alice snapped. She shook her head and shook off his hand.
"You are being insufferable," she said, "and I'm so tired of it I could fall asleep standing up.
But
now I haven't a single idea which feathers you pluck in private."
This was a common Farrenwood expression I'll try to explain later.
"But I can't guess which, either. And my right hand to Rainlight, Oliver Newbanks, I swear it, if you go on an inch more with this nonsense of answering none of my questions, I will find a lake and push you in it, and then,"
she said, poking him in the chest,
"then you'll discover the only use in having a head so full of hot air."
Oliver had gone reddish. Humility had gotten lost on its journey to his ego, but the two had finally been reunited, and the meeting appeared to be painful. Oliver swallowed hard and looked away.
"All right," he said. "All right, I'm sorry. But let us find a quiet place first, a private place. We won't have much time to spare, but I'll do my best to tell you the things you need to know."
His eyes darted left and right.
"And please," he begged, "for Farron's sake, lower your voice."
Alice sighed.
"Oh, very well,"
she nearly said.
"Fine, fine, let's carry on,"
she nearly said. She nearly said she was perfectly ready to be amiable, but "nearly said" was not quite enough. Alice was distracted, frustrated, and embarrassingly stubborn, and she had stopped paying attention to anyone but Oliver, so it should come as no surprise to you, then, that in that moment, just as she was about to grant Oliver her acquiescence, she was plowed into. Apologies abounded. "Excuse me," and "pardon me," and "oh, goodness," collided in the air. Alice was dusting herself off and adjusting her skirts and clambering to her feet, with no help from Oliver, mind you, when she first saw the person with whom her body had collided. Friends, he was the most handsome boy she'd ever seen. He was tall, but not too tall. Perfect, but not too perfect. Dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. He looked like molasses had made a man. Her exact opposite in every way. Skin like silk jam. Hair as dark as pitch. eyes with lashes so thick and black, and oh, how they fluttered when he blinked. Was he blinking? He was staring at her.
At her?
Where she looked like nothing, he looked like everything, and she had never been so speechless in all her life. Be still her heart, he was smiling at her. Alice was convinced, after a moment or two, that she was most certainly in love with him. It seemed like the only logical explanation for what she was feeling. And it wasn't until Oliver pointed out, rudely, that her mouth was open, only a little, really, that she was startled back into her bones. She gasped, surprised by how loudly her jaw snapped shut, and wondered how best to ask the beautiful boy to marry her. He was maybe Oliver's age, which meant he was close to Alice's age, which meant none of them had any actual interest in marrying anyone, but that didn't change what Alice said next.
Will you?
She began to say, and thought better of it.
Would you?
She said instead, and reached for his hand. Oliver snatched her arm away and gave her a very mean look.
What are you doing?
He hissed.
Oh, hush,
she whispered, waving him away.
Good sleep to you, the beautiful boy said to her, smiling wide. It certainly is a pleasure to be meeting you tonight.
He had a slight accent. His voice was deep and musical, like maybe it wasn't real. Like maybe he was speaking a language she didn't know she could understand. She didn't much care either way.
It is a very great pleasure to be meeting you, too, she said quickly, ignoring Oliver, who was already trying to pull her away.
Yes, yes, Oliver said. Pleasure. We must be on our way now. Thank you. Goodbye.
Wait,
said the boy urgently. He scanned Oliver's face for only a moment before turning back to Alice.
You are new here. I have never seen anyone like you before, he said, and as he did, he reached out, tangling a strand of her unfortunate white hair around his fingers.
Alice nearly fainted.
Would you like to stay a while?
He asked her. Only her.
I could show you around.
She was already nodding when Oliver interrupted them, yet again.
Please,
he said quietly. His eyes were bright and twitchy and locked onto hers.
A moment of your time in private.
Alice wanted to ignore him, but the look on Oliver's face worried her. So she excused herself and promised the beautiful boy that she would return shortly. Oliver, however, was steaming mad. He had a whole host of unhappy things to say to her about breaking the rules and not listening to him, and though she tried to reassure him that she hadn't meant for any of this to happen, Oliver was adamant that they keep moving. "And anyway," Oliver said, "I haven't any idea why you're so enchanted by him. Residents of Slumber are very nearly covered in dust."
Dust, I should mention, was a kind of slang for magic.
Oliver crossed his arms. He has hoaxed you, be sure of it.
Oh, but Oliver,
Alice said, glancing over his shoulder,
did you not see him? He is so astoundingly beautiful, just, oh!
She was very nearly melting.
So very, very beautiful. I am sure I have never seen anyone so handsome in all my life.
She grabbed Oliver's sleeve.
Do you not think he is the most handsome person you have ever seen in all your life?
Oliver went purple in the face. He pursed his lips and flailed his arms and almost exploded the words he spoke next. Honestly, no one could understand a thing he said, so I won't even try to recount any of it. Anyhow, Alice didn't want to upset Oliver. He seemed so very put out by the whole thing, so she prepared to tell the boy that she could not accept his generous offer. But when they returned, he'd already assembled a crowd, and by then... well, by then, it was far too late. And it was all her fault. Oliver had gone white. He was milk and paper and ghostly fright. He'd taken her hand and was squeezing so tight Alice had no choice but to shake him off. She yanked her hand back and scowled at no one in particular, realizing all too late that she had caused quite a lot of trouble. She glanced at Oliver. He was frozen in place, eyes wide, horrified by the spectacle they'd become. The beautiful boy and his crowd of people were close, closer, and a blink later had circled around them completely. The tallest held a torch and held it high, high above Alice's head, so everyone could get a good look at her face. They were pointing and gesturing, heads cocked and gazes roving over her hair, her skin, her tattered skirts. She felt as though she were locked in a cabinet of curiosities, and she didn't like it one bit. Alice narrowed her eyes at the beautiful boy, but he didn't seem to notice. He was smiling wide, looking around at his friends like he was proud, like he'd discovered something odd and strange, and, oh, wouldn't it be tops to poke fun at the nothing girl tonight? Well, she wasn't having any of that. Alice was not interested in being stared at, and besides, she and Oliver had a very busy schedule and no time to spare for nonsense. The beautiful boy stepped forward.
"My name is Seldom," he said, and smiled.
Alice wanted very much to speak, but she was abruptly startled into silence. Seldom had moved into the torchlight in his face. Well, it was nothing at all like it was in the moonlight. Here, where the fiery glow illuminated his features, she could see him far more clearly. Tall and broad, he wore a sleeveless shirt with a deep V-cut neckline, very short shorts, and a pair of moccasins. But most interesting was his skin. He was a stroke of midnight. So blue, he was almost black, and he was covered head to toe in tattoos. Stars, moons, galaxies were drawn upon his body in ink so gold they shimmered in the light. Alice stood there staring at him, just as he stood staring at her, mouths agape. He was beautiful in an extraordinary way. He was beautiful in a way she did not understand.
"What is your name?"
Seldom asked. "Alice, don't tell him!" Oliver said, reaching out as if to stop her. Alice didn't even have time to roll her eyes at Oliver.
"Your name is Alice?"
Seldom asked. She nodded, pausing just long enough to shoot a dirty look at Oliver, who had now turned a very unflattering shade of puce.
"Yes," she said, and sighed.
Oliver had already told him anyway.
"My name is Alice. Can I leave now?"
Seldom shook his head.
"We would like to keep you."
"Oh,"
she said, surprised. She looked around at the crowd. They were smiling eagerly, nodding and waving hello. Suddenly they seemed friendly, and she was convinced it was some kind of a trick.
"Well, that is very kind," she said, turning back to Seldom. "But I really must be on my way."
She took a step forward. Seldom stepped in front of her.
"Where do you have to go?"
Alice bit her lip and looked him square in the eye, wondering how much to say to him. She wasn't sure how dangerous this situation was, mostly because Oliver was such a mouse he could hardly say a word, but she wasn't going to let anyone keep her here. She knew that if she wanted to find Father, she had to first find her way through this. I feel it necessary to mention here that were it not for Father, Alice might not have felt so brave. Love had made her fearless, and wasn't it strange? It was so much easier to fight for another than it was to fight for oneself.
But how? Alice thought. Escape might require a lie, and she
had bound herself to the truth.
And yet,
Alice compromised, her truths were meant only for Farinwood, weren't they? Technically, if we may speak technically, Alice hadn't even known Furthermore was real when she made that pact, and anyway, she quickly convinced herself these next words wouldn't be a lie. Not exactly. She would tell a story, she'd decided, a fable, a work of fiction. "I am in charge of the sun," she said loudly, "and I'm on my way to wake him up." Seldom blinked fast, shocked. Oliver inhaled sharply. The crowd around them went loud, then silent, in rapid succession.
"Alice,"
Oliver whispered. He was holding her hand again. He kept doing that.
"What are you thinking?"
"I don't know,"
she whispered back to him. She was still looking at Seldom.
"I'm trying to get us out of here."
"But Alice..."
"You are in charge of the sun?"
Seldom asked quietly. His eyebrows had rushed together in confusion.
Yes,
she said, and nodded, too, for added effect.
Oh, he frowned. We did not think a person could climb so high.
I'm very talented,
she assured him, this time not lying at all. There are a great many things I can do. Seldom grunted. Alice tried to smile.
Is that why you're so white?
Seldom asked, with no preamble.
Excuse me?
Because your colors all burnt off,
said someone from the crowd.
You're white because you burnt off all your colors, didn't you?
Well, I wouldn't say that I...
So, you are not a visitor?
Seldom asked.
You're one of us, but your color is gone? Because of the sun?
Alice
cleared her throat and looked around at their anxious faces.
Yes,
she decided.
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
And she silently congratulated herself on her storytelling abilities.
And what about him?
Seldon was pointing at Oliver.
Oh, yes,
she said quickly.
Him, too. He's seen the sun too many times, too. Not as many times as me, of course, but, you know, eventually, he'll be just as white as I am.
Seldon was crestfallen. He was so disappointed, in fact, that he seemed almost mad at Alice. He and his friends shared some words on the matter, and everyone took turns shooting her unkind looks. Slowly they scattered. When they'd all finally walked away, Alice and Oliver were left to dwell on their feelings, and it turned out they were both very angry with the other. Oliver was still holding Alice's hand, and they were now walking very, very quickly through town. But Oliver was huffing, and Alice was puffing, and he said, I can't believe you. And she said, you are such a coward. And he said, always causing trouble, never listening. And she said, didn't do anything at all to save us, just standing there like a stump. And Oliver stopped so suddenly they nearly fell over. Didn't do anything at all to save us? He said. Standing there like a stump? Alice, have you gone mad?
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Oliver. I was the one who had to think quickly. I was the one who had to...
You did nothing at all! Oliver nearly shouted. Do you know how hard I had to work to get us out of that mess?
What?
She said.
What are you talking about?
Me, Alice. Me! He stabbed a finger at his chest. While you stood there answering questions and making up stories, I had to convince them to believe you, and my head nearly exploded with the effort. I've been working so hard to help you, and all you do is fight me. I take your hand and you shove me away, and I'm left grasping, furious.
Well, maybe I don't want you to hold my hand.
Alice snapped, cheeks pinking.
And anyway, I had been wondering why...
I am trying to keep us safe! Oliver shouted, so angry now he was practically shaking. I need to be near you in order to quietly convince everyone to leave us be. And what thanks do I get for all this? None? None at all. You're running off, breaking away, charging into strangers. You make everything so much more difficult. Oliver threw his hands in the air. Alice shoved him in the chest, twice.
Maybe if you'd been honest with me about what to expect...
Maybe if you'd been patient, or even bothered to ask nicely.
I am not incompetent, Alice cried, and I don't appreciate your patronizing me. In fact, I've no doubt I could find my own way through furthermore without a bit of help from you.
Is that right? Oliver's eyes flashed.
Right as rain light.
So you really think, Oliver said, stepping closer, that you'd have gotten 5 feet farther without my saving you from your own silly stories? You think anyone would have believed you? Alice's confidence faltered. Her stomach did a nervous flip. Oliver looked away, shaking his head. In charge of the sun, he said. Really, what nonsense was that, of all the things to say? He ran both hands through his hair, losing steam. Don't you understand why your father was tasked to me? Why the elder sent me here to furthermore to a land of tricks and puzzles? I have the gift of persuasion, Alice,
And yes, it grants me the ability to know the deepest secret of every person I meet, but the people of Furthermore are nothing like the people of Ferrenwood, and their deepest secrets hardly help me at all, making the task infinitely more complicated. And if you think navigating this land is hard for me, it would be a sight near impossible for you.
I beg